SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on a Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are live together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. As we have done all fall, now into the winter months, on a Monday morning, we sit back in the armchair and look back on a Sunday slate around the National Football League. But this Sunday, extra important. Conference Championship Sunday in the National Football League with a Super Bowl matchup that is now set. Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans is a rematch of Super Bowl 57 from Phoenix. It's the Philadelphia Eagles, the champions of the NFC, and the Kansas City Chiefs making history yesterday as the champions once more of the AFC. How conference championship weekend played out in our reactions to everything we saw, DRS, that is the main focus over these 3 hours on the Early Line.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time today going over everything that happened yesterday and sets up for what looks like an epic Super Bowl in New Orleans. But having said that, the talking point for me, Ben, a lot last week was there were two really good defenses and two really bad defenses. And home field advantage matters, and you saw it exactly play out that way yesterday.
Absolutely so, DRS. It's why you try to bolster the regular season record for the opportunity, if available, to host an AFC or NFC championship game, as we saw in Arrowhead, a familiar setting, and of course at the Link in Philadelphia. Let's start with another instant classic in the AFC championship game. For a fourth time in the past five NFL postseasons, it was Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And for all four times, it's been all Kansas City. The Chiefs make history yesterday. The first ever team to win back-to-back Super Bowl championships that will appear in a third consecutive Super Bowl. With a 32-29 victory over Buffalo, the Chiefs cover as a slight point and a half favorite at home, minus 118 on the money line, and a total of 49.5 does go over. Seven consecutive trips, DRS, for Kansas City to the AFC title game. Six of them at home inside Arrowhead. And now, for a fifth time in the last seven seasons, including three straight, Kansas City will play for a Lombardi Trophy once again.
We'll talk about this so much more over this next hour, Ben, but just to understand this, at the biggest points of the football game, Kansas City always wins. And you might say, like, hey, a spot doesn't go one way or another. Kansas City seems to get more of those spots than anybody else. But did you see, even on that last play, Steve Spagnuolo dials up an exotic blitz where three players got home, forcing that deep ball over the middle, which Kincaid could have come up with and couldn't. But those are the chances here. That wasn't, let me just sit back in the pocket for 5 seconds and find my guy. Yeah. Spagnuolo forces you to make plays, and the Buffalo Bills just couldn't make the plays. Kansas City, Ben, they made the plays.
Yes, they always do, DRS, even when Buffalo stayed in the game. 21-2, the overall record for NFL teams since 2020 in playoff games that scored at least four touchdowns and do not turn the football over a single time. Yep. Those two losses, the Buffalo Bills. Last night in the AFC Championship game to KC, the 2021 divisional round thriller in OT for the Bills against the Chiefs as well. Plenty more reactions, but Kansas City makes history. On to New Orleans and playing in the biggest game of an NFL season for a third year in a row. And for the second time in the last three NFL campaigns, it will be the Chiefs playing the Philadelphia Eagles for a Lombardi Trophy. The Eagles dominant at home at the Link in a ground game that has really been the anchor of the offense for the Birds all year. Historic yesterday, 55-23. The Birds blow out the Commanders, their divisional foes from the NFC East. Philadelphia covers DRS as a 6.5-point home favorite. A total of 46.5. Skies way over. The Eagles are flying to the Big Easy for Super Bowl 59.
flying or running one way or the other. 7 rushing touchdowns yesterday for the Philadelphia Eagles, the number one defense, making the plays when they had to, and that ground game was unbelievable. Imagine Saquon Barkley, 24.5 as his rushing prop for his carries, 15 carries, 118 yards, but needed 125.5, but he did punch in 3 touchdowns, which included getting the stadium lit on fire early by that long home run touchdown, which he tends to hit. It was an exciting game for me as an Eagles fan, maybe a letdown for the Commander fans, but sets up an epic Super Bowl nonetheless.
An epic Super Bowl indeed. A rematch of Super Bowl 57 that we saw just 2 years ago in Phoenix, Arizona. The Chiefs edging out the Eagles to win that first Lombardi Trophy of their 2 consecutive. They will hope for 3. No team in National Football League history has won 3 consecutive Super Bowl championships. KC just 1 win away from history. But the Eagles hoping to get their revenge in the rematch. We will take an early look at the Super Bowl 59 odds, but KC opens as an ever so slight favorite on that money line. More news around the NFL from the weekend. The Chicago Bears, the RS under Ben Johnson, starting to fill out that staff in the Windy City. Declan Doyle, the 28-year-old who worked on the offensive staff in Denver this past season under Sean Payton, now the new OC in the Windy City, got his start at Iowa under Kirk Ferentz. And a longtime defensive mind and former Saints head coach, Dennis Allen, will serve as the defensive coordinator for the Bears.
Yeah, I like the Dennis Allen hire. I do. A competent defensive coordinator. We saw it in Philadelphia. 2 inept coordinators last year. 2 really good coordinators this year. Fastest way to change around your team, get a good coaching staff. You saw it in Washington. You're going to see it in Chicago next year, Ben.
Completely agree, DRS. What will the Bears' outlook be for 2025? That we shall decide. Late on Friday night, almost as if they knew, the press release would lead to jokes. The Dallas Cowboys actually did it. They hire Brian Schottenheimer as the new head coach at the Star. Sorry, Donnie, I can't keep from laughing.
It's really good. And the best part about it is you watch Dallas Cowboys fans who haven't been to a Super Bowl and NFC title game since the mid-1990s, watch the Commanders and the Eagles play in an NFC championship game, and to start your weekend off, you got Brian Schottenheimer, who's the guy that's supposed to get you over the hump after like 30 years of ineptitude. Hilarious stuff for Dallas. We love this. This is what we eat up.
Almost 30 years of ineptitude for the Cowboys, of course, since their last Lombardi Trophy in 1995. They haven't even reached the NFC Championship game in nearly 30 years for Brian Schottenheimer as an NFL assistant coach. And now the time is ripe in 2025 to be named a head coach. And listen, we're not really trying to slander Brian Schottenheimer. We hope he has success, or maybe some people hope he has success. It's more of a laughing stock, DRS, of Jerry Jones cratering America's team down into a deep hole. But some interesting college football news yesterday. Jim Knowles, who just orchestrated the best defense in the country for Ohio State en route to a national championship on the same day the Buckeyes had their national championship parade inside the Shoe, leaves Columbus for Happy Valley to become the new defensive coordinator for Penn State and James Franklin. This league in the Big Ten.
No, you're right. And how about this? It's like a real NFL team. I was like, we don't have any money to sign the coordinator because we paid our starting lineup here $50 million. So somebody's got to go and ends up being the defensive coordinator. But honestly, that's a wild move to have the best defense in a team that won a championship and then basically trade down for a rivalry in your own conference. That's hilarious.
Listen, a lot of money can speak a lot of volumes. Yeah. More than $3 million a year for Jim Knowles, highest paid coordinator in college football. Yannick Sinner on the men's side and Madison Keys, the American, win the Australian Open titles, DRS.
Fantastic. Love it.
Yep. Yannick Sinner going back-to-back at the Aussie Open blockbuster trade in the WNBA yesterday, including Jewel Lloyd, the WNBA's leading scorer from 2 seasons ago. She leaves Seattle, headed to Las Vegas. Kelsey Plum makes her way to L.A. The Storm received the number 2 overall pick coming up in the WNBA. More from Conference Championship Sunday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Super Bowl 59 is now set. How Conference Championship Sunday played out and our reactions to what we saw in each Conference Championship game live right here on a Monday morning on the Early Line. We start with the second game of Sunday inside Arrowhead Stadium, a familiar setting. For the sixth time in the last 7 years, all seven seasons, the Kansas City Chiefs playing in that AFC title matchup. And for a fourth time in the last five NFL postseasons, a playoff game against the Buffalo Bills. And Donnie, a familiar setting, a familiar story. The Chiefs made the plays when it mattered most, and Buffalo comes up just shy of KC. The Chiefs are back in a Super Bowl for a third consecutive season and a fifth time in the last 6 years. 32-29, the victory for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. KC closed as a slight point and a half favorite at home in Arrowhead, minus 118 on the money line, and a total of 49 and a half skies over. All of the celebrations in Arrowhead once again for Kansas City. They will play for their third consecutive Lombardi Trophy in the Big Easy in just 2 weeks.
And all along the way, Kansas City smashing the hopes and dreams of teams trying to at least get to the Super Bowl and or win a Super Bowl. And understand this. You got Lamar Jackson, who might be, when it all said and done, a Hall of Fame quarterback. The same thing with Josh Allen. There's a legitimate chance that Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson never get to a Super Bowl just because Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes continuously just stand in their way. And this was one of those seasons where I say, you know, talking about yesterday on the desk, oh, man, if you could just get Kansas City out of Arrowhead. You had it last year, and they went right through Baltimore, right through the Buffalo Bills. Right. Now they were home this year, and the Ravens couldn't get there, but the Bills could, and we're surprised that the Kansas City Chiefs won at home. Now, I'm not surprised. I told you all last week, the MO to this game was, let me understand this. The Kansas City Chiefs, just to win this game at home in advance to a Super Bowl when everybody is healthy on the Chiefs, I would take that every time. Now, granted, the game was close. It was an awesome game, 32-29. But that's the narrative. When the Chiefs have to win and make plays, they make their own good luck here. It seems like they never have bad luck because why? They're always in position to make the right play. We'll get to the nuts and bolts of this game and some plays later that could have been made. But also understand this. The Buffalo Bills had the lead, Ben, in the second half by a point and were driving. Mm-hmm. Now, understandably on this, the quarterback sneak, the tush push, you always get the benefit of the doubt. I did think the Buffalo Bills got robbed on that spot. But let's understand this. Let's just say Buffalo got that first down. What is the game over in the third quarter? Like, everybody harps on that one play here, whereas if, though, Kansas City couldn't get a stop to hold him for a field goal, or Kansas City wouldn't attack on offense for the final quarter and a half. That's regardless. But the one thing we understand is the coaching staff on Kansas City always has that team in the right spot at the right moment.
Sure. DRS, there is so much to dive into. Let's start with the NFL history, and then, as you said, the nuts and bolts. Those critically important moments, of course, that will be dissected in each and every way throughout this Monday and in the lead-up, of course, to Super Bowl 59. We don't have highlight packages here on TEL. It would be easier with the visual representation. We'll explain as best we can. First, to the history. KC last year became the ninth team in NFL history to win two consecutive Super Bowl championships. They are the first team of those nine back-to-back winners to even reach a third consecutive Super Bowl. They will look to be the first team in NFL history to win three straight Lombardi trophies. They are also the first team in NFL history to eliminate the same opponent four times in a five-year span from playoff consideration. What the Chiefs have done to the Buffalo Bills. The Bills have not been able to exorcise the demon that is their playoff nemesis in Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City. And frankly, DRS, how can you? KC is now 17-0 in their last 17 one-score games. That's 17 straight one-score wins in NFL record. Patrick Mahomes is 17-3 in his playoff career. Now the second most wins for an individual quarterback in NFL history. 7 years as the starter in KC, five AFC championships, and now five bids to a Super Bowl. Donnie, it sounds redundant, right? But at the start of this NFL season, maybe even back in March in the offseason after Super Bowl 58, we sat here on this show and you said, kind of paraphrasing here, but in so many words, you want me to sit here and not bet the Chiefs? You want me to sit here and bet somebody else, not named Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Kansas City to win the AFC? Until it happens, I'm not doing it. And to think, really, what could have been a standard line of thinking the last 7 years, had you bet Kansas City to win an AFC title, the profits you would be raking in at this moment, continuing into the calendar year of 2025.
It's so simple. And the best part about it, Ben, we have 2 weeks to get ready for. Let me get this straight. They always win the Super Bowl, the AFC Championship, and they have to cover 1.5 points. Where have we heard that story before? Oh, we just watched it play out on Sunday afternoon in Kansas City. It's Andy Reid off a bye. Now, granted, we have so much time to get through that matchup. But if you do focus just on this Kansas City game, it's apparent there is no panic in Kansas City. And even though, by the way, shout out Buffalo, getting down 7-0 right away, then for taking the lead back. It was a dogfight back and forth each side with a couple major plays being made on both sides. But I will say this. When you look at the Buffalo Bills, you need firepower to go up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Josh Allen was ready for the game. 22 of 34, 237, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Yeah. He did his job. James Cook, 13 for 85, loved everything I saw. But in the biggest moments here, you know, we thought we probably had the advantage. Tight ends on the Buffalo Bills. You know what they accounted for? Dawson Knox, 1 catch, 7 yards. Kincaid, 2 for 13, and a monster drop here. You just didn't get the explosive plays. You can't go into AFC Championship games and saying, Mac Hollins is my guy. That was the problem. You had an ace number one wide receiver for a couple years in Stephon Diggs. You don't have that right now. And in big spots, we need a go-to wide receiver. You didn't have that yesterday.
Mac Hollins was the leading receiver for Buffalo. Yeah. Only 3 grabs with 73 yards and a touchdown. Now let's dive into the critical moments. We'll do so on the other side of the break, because those will be the reactions that you see on this Monday following conference championship weekend. The 4th and 1, the critical spot in KC in the rest of how the final 15 minutes played out in that fourth quarter. There is a lot to be said, and we will say so on the other side. Patrick Mahomes, by the way, now a perfect 8-0 against the number as a 3-point favorite or fewer, or an underdog in his NFL playoff career. Just win the game outright. It's what KC did. More next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue our reactions to Conference Championship Sunday in the AFC title game. Very familiar foes, the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. We told you what happened, Kansas City winning 32-29, and what it means in the hunt for history in Super Bowl 59. Now, how it happened in those key and critical moments, especially in the fourth quarter, that will lead to those sweeping takeaways on a Monday. DRS, of course, most of the focus will be about 13 minutes remaining in regulation. Just a few minutes in to the 4th and final quarter. Buffalo had a 4th and 1 on KC's 41-yard line. They try yet another tush-push equivalent, but really QB sneak with Josh Allen. And he was stuffed, but got very, very close to that line to gain. KC's 40-yard line. The two referees came in, the various side judges, and they had different spots of the ball. One awarded the line the gain in the first down to Buffalo. The other on the near side said Josh Allen was short. Every replay you could imagine dissecting where exactly the ball was to be spotted. Ultimately, the call on the field was short, a turnover on downs. It was upheld. Donnie, as you saw that play out in real time, what was your reaction? Did Josh Allen make it? Did Buffalo kind of get screwed?
I think they got screwed. And also, how about the third down play before that, where you catch the football, you roll close to the first down. He got a bad spot. I'm not saying they should have gave him the first down, but it should have been much closer, which meant that would have been that quarterback sneak much closer to begin with. But he got it. And also, this is a known fact in the NFL. There's two things that go on quarterback sneaks here. Number one, the defense can line up in your backfield without getting an offside penalty. That's clear. But number two, the minute that ball is snapped, understand this. As long as the tie goes to the runner in Major League Baseball, as long as you don't lose yards on a quarterback sneak, they give you a half of a yard to a yard almost automatically. And the fact that you see the replays, and yes, it was close, but again, 99 out of 100 calls go your direction where the refs just run in and it's an automatic first down. How many times you see where the head referee just runs in and points first down before the ball's even spotted? Because that's exactly what it should be. I was surprised that that wasn't a first down. But again, it didn't decide the game, but it was a big moment in the game. You had a lead for Buffalo and they were driving. Any points would have put the pressure back on Kansas City. That should have been a first down. It really should have.
You know, DRS, I think it's a great point. It should have been a first down. The game would not have been over in that point, as we will discuss in just a moment. But when you leave it up to the officials, if you really have an issue with it, go get the first down by a yard. Go get the first down by a foot and a half. Not a third of the football, perhaps, from the one angle that the referees can barely see and thus have to overturn a call. And as we know on replay review, it needs to be undisputable evidence. Was it? I'm not entirely sure. We knew there was going to be a critical juncture in the game, DRS, between the Bills and the Chiefs that allowed most of the NFL public to say, see, the Chiefs have the fix and they always get the benefit of the doubt and the calls. It turned out to be that. But it was critical because the Bills were ahead 22-21 at that point. KC quickly responds. 5-play, 59-yard drive, just about 2 minutes and 41 seconds to take the lead. They convert a 2-point try. But here's why the spot wasn't the undoing of Buffalo. The Bills answer DRS in the fourth quarter. Yep. Fourth and goal from the 4. Josh Allen to Curtis Samuel to tie the game at 29-all. The defense could not make a critical stop when necessary. Harrison Butker, a 35-yard field goal with about 3.5 ticks remaining, put Kansas City up by 3, 32-29. And then Josh Allen and the Bills, with full 3 timeouts in the pocket, got the football back and went 3 and out. A 4th and 5 where Steve Spagnuolo drew up an exotic blitz that put pressure on Josh Allen. Somehow DRS put the football up in the air to allow his guys to make a play. Dalton Kincaid tried to come back and get it. Dove out for the football, hit him in the arms, unable to make the reception. Kansas City took over. They iced away the game from there. Critical junctures in the game that ultimately decide the outcome. KC made the plays when it mattered most. Buffalo falters ever so slightly once again.
Yeah, and look, you're not going to be blaming Joe Brady for that play per se. It was just an unbelievable defensive play call. But let's just say they slid the protection and picked that up. You had a lot of time to find a wide open wide receiver. On 4th and 5 to give the quarterback no options, but basically a Hail Mary. Unbelievable job by Steve Spagnuolo. By the way, forget Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Can somebody, like, hey, Saints, get Spagnuolo out of Kansas City. I'm tired of seeing this here. Not supposed to be that good on defense.
The defense has been sensational as of late. Plenty more from the AFC title game next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Plenty more from the AFC Championship game between the Chiefs and the Bills, where these two teams stack up in the historic and dynastic run that continues for KC to New Orleans for yet another Super Bowl appearance. Donnie, we talked about Dalton Kincaid right there before the break. Some people were trying to make the comparison between Kincaid and the drop late in the fourth quarter this week as compared to Mark Andrews in the critical mistakes, the fumble, and the drop on the 2-point conversion last week in Buffalo. To me, they are not even comparable. Mark Andrews was wide open in a play designed directly to him on a good ball right at the pylon. Dalton Kincaid was basically trying to play 3 flags up as somehow, some way, Josh Allen's cannon arm got the ball up there. But it was a free-for-all. It was a scramble. It wasn't a designed route to an open Kincaid in the flat who just dropped the football. Should he have made the play? Sure. Does he make the play 7 out of 10 times? Perhaps. Was it the worst disastrous drop we have ever seen? No. And that was not the reason Buffalo lost the football game. It was the defensive display from KC in a great play design on a delayed cornerback blitz from Trent McDuffie from Steve Spagnuolo that put Josh Allen in that chaotic moment anyway.
Yes, and agree with you. We look at that play in slow motion, and what's our first response here? Oh, he should have made that play. Trust me, if you've ever played the game of football, you are running one route, you see a football in the air, you have to adjust yourself, come back to the football when there's three defenders with their arms out, heads out, you don't know where anybody is, and you have to dive to make that play in freezing cold temperatures. It's a tough catch. Should he have made it? Will he tell you that he should have made it? Absolutely. But those are some of the breaks that you have to get. But if you are being honest, like we always talk about, like how about just in fairness, right? Kansas City won that play. Like you were asking for Buffalo to complete a miracle pass on fourth and five to extend that drive and maybe tie the football game up, and they couldn't do it. That's what you're asking for. It wasn't as if, and you're right, it's a great comparison to Mark Andrews because technically it's no comparison at all. Like five yards away, hit you in the stomach, you drop the pass. Much different than a Hail Mary ball I'm trying to dive and come back for to make a great catch here. No comparison to me, but you can see it. Two tight ends, got to make a play in the biggest moment. Neither one of them does, but the difficulty of catch on Andrews was 1%, and it was 80% on the opposite side with Kincaid. It's a shame because we love football games like that. The theater of them completing that pass is like, oh my goodness, where does this game end up and wind up? I'll tell you where it winds up. Buffalo kicks a field goal. Kansas City goes right down the field and kicks a field goal and wins that game. That's probably the way it ends anyway. Just would have loved to see it play out, though.
And maybe here's the comparison you can make. The moment that Dalton Kincaid could have had will always be a coulda, woulda, shoulda. And that's kind of where Buffalo has been, especially in the head-to-head matchups against Kansas City. You can bemoan the fact that KC is the same old story. Oh, here these guys go again to play for a Super Bowl. You can start your conspiracy theories about the referees and the officiating, whatever you want. Kansas City makes the plays when it matters most, and it is why KC will play in its fifth Super Bowl in the last seven seasons. It is why Kansas City has ousted Buffalo from the postseason four times in the last 5 years. Donnie, we talked about these familiar foes in these significant stages basically every season for the last half decade when the Buffalo Bills have won the AFC East. They have been unable to surpass Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City. And once again, you see it there. The last three matchups between these two decided in the fourth quarter and or overtime, decided by 6 points or fewer. It is the same story. Buffalo unable to get past Kansas City, and it's now history for the Chiefs, becoming the first team in NFL history to eliminate the same opponent four times in a five-year span.
It's crazy, too, because you have Buffalo with the success in the regular season against the Kansas City Chiefs, but when everything matters, they just can't get over the hump. And there will be slander today on the Lamar Jacksons of the world and the Josh Allens. But I don't participate in that. Like, I didn't watch that game. Like, man, Josh Allen, even trust me on this, though. He had a lot of turnover-worthy plays in that game, which ended up not being turnover specifically early there. But you just have to look at the final statistics. You're not going to look at that game and say, Josh Allen lost that football game, or he wasn't game to beating Kansas City. It's just now we're at the point, it's like Kansas City just doesn't lose. It's what they do. And if they win another Super Bowl, nobody's ever won three in a row here. And then you're going to say next year, you think Travis Kelce is going to retire when they win three straight Super Bowls? No, they're going to bring the band back together and probably add on even more pieces than what they have now. The joke was last year was the time to get them because that was probably their least talented team. And they went on the road with the hardest stretch we've ever seen, beating three opponents they shouldn't have beaten here. And now we're finding them back into the Super Bowl. That's the one my takeaway. Like, you want to slander the Bills and Josh Allen, but when cooler heads prevail, you go, what do you want them to do? It's the Chiefs. They beat everybody, you know?
Yep. It's what they continue to do. Again, we could do the examination with the preseason odds on Kansas City from 2018 on, the 7 years that Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback for the Chiefs, and how much money you would have with a $100 bet on KC simply to win the AFC Championship, which they have done five times in that seven-year span. We will talk more about this dynastic run, the history at stake in New Orleans, in the history already made by KC, becoming the first of nine back-to-back Super Bowl winners to play in a third consecutive Super Bowl. Again, history for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. For the Buffalo Bills, DRS, yet again, you can look at the Pantheon, you can look atop the mountain where KC and Andy Reid and Mahomes still stand and say, man, we are going against generational greatness. That is the thing holding us back. But with Josh Allen, specifically in the last 5 years, winning a division, hosting at least one playoff game, this is really starting to sting. 8 years under Sean McDermott, 7 playoff appearances for Buffalo, including 6 consecutive. A 7-7 record in the postseason for McDermott that features only 2 berths in an AFC championship, never a Super Bowl appearance. Buffalo, as an organization, has not reached the biggest of games since 1993, now over 3 decades ago, of course, when the Bills made 4 consecutive Super Bowls and were unable to win a Lombardi Trophy. A 7-7 playoff record for Sean McDermott, DRS, but 5 of those 7 victories coming in the wild card round. Should there be slander to those from Western New York, or is it just, man, we kind of get it. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are just the reason you come up short each and every time.
Yes, it's your escape clause, and it's very valid at that point. It's the same way we handicap Chiefs games now by saying, oh, they just have to win the football game, bet them. Like, I'm not throwing any slander. Like, now you have to make a change. To go to who? With Sean McDermott. He keeps running up against the Kansas City Chiefs and can't get over the hump. But understand this, too. This was a Buffalo Bills team over the past 3 years that was like, you know what? Now's their time. They're going to get to the Super Bowl. Entering into the season, they weren't that hot commodity for me in the AFC anymore. So I actually look at this Buffalo Bills team. I don't want to say overachievers because that's not fair. They have Josh Allen, a quarterback. He can win anywhere at any time, or at least that's the perceived notion. But this was a team that said, you know what? We're going to trade away Stephon Diggs. We're going to lose a couple players on defense, some cap casualties. We're going to respond. We're going to draft a young wide receiver in Keon Coleman who – No, it's unfair to call him a bust, but you were expecting those expectations based on he had funny interviews coming out of Florida State and how great he was going to be for the Buffalo Bills. And in the biggest moments, he couldn't produce. You know, probably would have if you had a healthy Stephon Diggs or a true number one wide receiver. But I can't fault Buffalo. They tried with Amari Cooper. He's just cooked right now, Ben. That's all it is to it.
Donnie, when you asked, you know, who probably could have for Buffalo at the wide receiver spot, I thought you were going to say the 28th overall selection that Buffalo traded to KC, which allowed the Chiefs to get Xavier Worthy, who was the game's leading receiver, 6 grabs, 85 yards, and a touchdown. That was a head-scratcher back in late April, still kind of mystifying at this moment. Patrick Mahomes, in his playoff career, 17-3 straight up, 13-7 against the spread, 8-0 ATS as either an underdog or a 3-point favorite or fewer. Those 17 postseason wins for Mahomes, second most now in the history of the National Football League. Yesterday, moving past Joe Montana, Tom Brady in his 35. That's all Patrick Mahomes is looking up at. They're filling out in the NFC Championship. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFC Championship at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia between the NFC East divisional foes, the Commanders and the Eagles. The 181st all-time meeting between Philly and Washington, the first time ever in the NFC Championship. The Birds hosting said NFC title game for a second time in a 3-year window. The Commanders and the rookie Jaden Daniels into an NFC championship game for the first time since the 1991 campaign. And Donnie, there was some thought that Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn in his first year in Washington had continued to defy the odds each and every step of this season. They would put up a fight in Philadelphia. That thought was wildly incorrect. The Eagles win big. Back to a Super Bowl for a second time in the last 3 years, 55-23, behind a punishing ground attack and the best defense in the sport that forced 4 turnovers yesterday. The Birds cover as a 6.5-point home favorite, a total of 46 and a hook. Stood no chance. The Eagles go over that by themselves, scoring 55 points. The Eagles, they're flying to New Orleans because of the ground game back in a Super Bowl for the second time in the last 3 years to see the same opponent on the other side, that being the Kansas City Chiefs.
Absolutely. And we'll get to the game itself in just a second. But sometimes you got to shout out the FanDuel Sportsbook. Like, they have enough money now, Ben, to put an embassy in all 50 states, because we went over ad nauseum last week the ticket counts on both the Kansas City game and the Philadelphia game, where everybody and their grandmothers were laying the wood with the Buffalo Bills and the Commanders, only to see them both get beat. Now let's get to this football game and why it made sense where the Philadelphia Eagles were the better team. Told you all last week, if you looked optimistically at this game, every single position that maybe you can argue quarterback, because one guy was coming in with a knee injury and the other one wasn't, the Eagles were better at. Every single position. Look at the coaching staffs. Coaching staff's better to the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, Dan Quinn's a good coach. Yeah, he's a great coach. You ever see Nick Sirianni's overall record here? Do you see Vic Fangio's number one overall defense against the 28th overall defense in Washington? But let's get to the gameplay itself. I actually was really impressed coming out with the Washington Commanders on an 18-play drive. But you don't get defeated on that. You continuously go for fourth down and then decide when you're on the road as an underdog, let's kick that field goal because we need points as somehow that our defense is going to hold up and 17 or 20 was going to win this game for Washington. That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But also understand that you can't have this. You get a little bit of momentum from the 3-0. You give off the big kick return to Will Shipley, which sets you up around the 40-plus yard line on your own side. And the very next play, Saquon Barkley hits a home run and goes right through your entire defense to set the stage for what was going to happen. Now, there were a lot of plays throughout the game which had big momentum changes, but none bigger than, can you imagine, Ben, though, 19, 21 plays, opening drive, 9 minutes off the clock, and a 7-0 lead for Washington right off the bat. I was surprised where their MO all postseason was, we are going to go in fourth and manageable situations every time to put the pressure on the defense, and our results from the season and the playoffs showed we are an unbelievable fourth down team. I was surprised they kicked that field goal to take the 3-0 lead, Ben.
Surprised DRS, especially because of that mentality that, as you said, Dan Quinn has displayed all year, but not terrible in my estimation to make sure that if you do end up with a negative result on a fourth and short, that you come away with some points for such a drive that was sustained against the best defense in the NFL. But Saquon Barkley, then, on the first play from scrimmage for Philadelphia, taking the ball and going 60 yards to pay dirt, as he has done all season long, that was the story of the game. In the AFC Championship matchup between Buffalo and Kansas City, if you want to sit there and dissect a couple of calls and a couple of critical plays, especially in the fourth quarter, be our guest. It would make a ton of sense. You can't do that in the NFC Championship game. Sure, did Philly get away with the hold on Saquon Barkley on that fourth down play, the big pass to A.J. Brown down the sideline? Sure, you call holding on basically every single play. But when Washington turns the football over four times, the Eagles convert that into four touchdowns, 28 total points. The Eagles and Saquon Barkley rushed the football for 229 yards yesterday, 6.4 yards per pop against the Commanders' defense that had struggled to contain opponents' ground games all year. There's no argument who is the better team, and it wasn't even particularly close yesterday in Philadelphia. Again, the Eagles cruise to a 55-23 victory. 229 yards on the ground for the Birds as a team. 6.4 yards per pop. A tush push that caused Frankie Louvu to lose his mind. Jalen Hurts had three touchdowns. Saquon Barkley had three rushing scores. Take off the lid, Will! Will Shipley, even a rushing touchdown as well. Seven rushing touchdowns as a team, DRS, for Philadelphia yesterday, matching an NFL playoff record set way back in 1940. It seems rather simple, and football can be rather reductive at some times, but if you establish the run, you control the line of scrimmage, and you take the football away from your opponent, winning that turnover margin, there's really no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You are going to win the football game. The Eagles did that yesterday in a big way at the link.
They did. And how about the Eagles' offensive line down their starting center? And they said, oh, throw Landon Dickerson. He doesn't snap footballs, hasn't really done that since college, and we'll be just fine. Then he gets injured, and Cam Jurgens comes off the bench with a bad back and continues to play and paving the way for a dominant ground game. But there is something to be said, because momentum is a big thing in the NFL. We get it. Things start to flip over, and sometimes you can't stop that avalanche. The Eagles stopped every single chance that Washington had a chance to avalanche. Opening play, yeah. Set the tone. You get three and out the Eagles. They go one play, 68 yards. Then what happens on the next one? Hey, Washington's moving the football. Zach Bond, the best linebacker in football, punches it out. The Eagles score a touchdown. Washington counters with a field goal. Then the Eagles miss a field goal, and Washington scores a touchdown. Oh, no. What do the Eagles do the very next drive? Punch in a touchdown. Force a fumble in the kick return. Punch in another touchdown. Yeah. Second half, it opens up when the Eagles go three and out after a couple sacks. Hey, here comes Washington. Jordan Davis, the biggest man on the field, gets a huge sack against Jaden Daniels. Stopping that drive, and the Eagles were in control the rest of the way. The counter-punching for the Philadelphia Eagles every time Washington had a glimmer was sensational to watch. It was like Floyd Mayweather out there at that point. Woo, 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 woo. Can't hit me. Can't do it.
Can't hit what you can't see. No. And the defense made play after play for Philadelphia. And the Eagles' offense, they weren't hit much yesterday on the ground either. More from Philly next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFC Championship game yesterday in Philadelphia. The story, the Eagles' dominance on the ground and defensive dominance on display once again. DRS, one of the remarkable things about Washington's run throughout this postseason, with a rookie quarterback and a first-time head coach outside the nation's capital, was the ability for the Commanders to play clean football. They had not turned it over in their opening two playoff games. In those two games combined against Detroit and Tampa, Daniels was sacked just once. His elusive nature in the pocket and his ability to utilize his legs, it's what Vic Fangio did so well yesterday, containing Jaden Daniels for the most part while still applying pressure. Three sacks of Daniels yesterday and four total turnovers forced by Philadelphia. And they put the game on Jaden Daniels, and he was fine. 29 of 48, 255 yards, a touchdown, and that first interception of his playoff career. Was the Commanders' leading rusher, six carries for 48 yards and a score. Zach Ertz was huge, the former Eagle back in Philly, 16 targets, 11 grabs, 104 yards, but a lot of that not necessarily influential yardage. And the story of the game, Donnie, entering was how effective could Jalen Hurts be with that left knee injury? Only 16 yards on the ground for Hurts, but he did have three touchdowns, and he threw it for 246 yards, well over what was a minimal passing yards prop that closed at 181.5 for the Eagles' signal caller. Everything went right for Philadelphia. The Commanders made mistakes that you might expect out of a young team that we hadn't seen so far throughout this playoff run.
And also, you know, you're going back in the data books like, well, how do rookie quarterbacks do in AFC, NFC championship games? Not all that well. They've never won. And with Jaden Daniels, they still have never won that game. Understanding this also, four straight road games for the Washington Commanders. You go back in the database, I don't think that's ever happened either because it's a rarity in the regular season. And even more rare to have a final game on the road where you're playing a majority of your starters, then go into the playoffs and have three straight road games there against what fears to be better competition because you're the lower seed. And still for them to get to this point was pretty immaculate. But you're right, it was a hard handicap technically coming into the game because there are real thoughts about like, what happens if Jalen Hurts can't move? Now, one of the bets I lost in the Eagles game, which I had a pretty good day in that game between the Commanders and the Eagles, was I thought Jalen Hurts over 4.5 rushing yards in the first quarter made a lot of sense. Because you said to yourself, you're going to have to show them that he's going to be active enough to move around and run. Never in a million years, I think he'd get 10 carries, but to wind up only 16 yards, I saw right away there were a couple plays where Jalen Hurts usually could get out of the pocket and he was staying in the pocket. Yeah. Now, number one, the Eagles' pass protection was really good, but there are a couple design rollouts where he has a chance to flip it to a tight end to run for 10 yards. He was flipping it repeatedly out into the flat. So I saw that as a sign of, oh, I don't know if he's all there. But as the game went on and he got more comfortable in the game, he was able to run more, even at a longer touchdown run, which was called back by hold, which was the correct call from the center, Landon Dickerson, on Bobby Wagner. But I thought his athletic ability in that game did make some sense. But the big winner here was the Eagles' offensive line. They gave him a lot of time to operate in And for a guy that you say, hey, we haven't passed the football that much, Ben, 20 of 28, 246 in the air, one touchdown, no interceptions. That's how you get the job done. And he's got 2 weeks to heal up that knee even more. But just to that original point, it was really hard to say, boy, I think Hurts is going to have a great football game, even though I did bet over 179.5 as his prop in that hit. But once you saw he was active enough in the pocket and being serviceable, which is what I was saying, I thought the Eagles would win, and they did.
It was just so minimal. It almost forced you to bet it. Dr. Chow will join us later in this third hour. We'll talk about, of course, how Jalen Hurts is going to rehab and get ready with the additional week of rest for Super Bowl 59. A.J. Brown back as a key factor of that Eagles offense. Six grabs, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Only had three receptions for 24 yards combined in the opening two playoff games for Philly. But when you talk about this Eagles team, the first name you mention is Saquon Barkley. In his first year in Philadelphia, his first ever Super Bowl appearance in his NFL career. 15 carries, 118 yards, three touchdowns. Under his rushing yards prop at 125 and a hook. Didn't go over his carry number either, which was 24 and a hook. But Donnie, when you see that first play, 60 yards on the first offensive play from scrimmage for the Eagles, that's been the story of big play Saquon all year long. His seventh 60-yard rushing touchdown or greater this year. That a single season record in the NFL.
Yeah, pretty impressive. Only 15 carries, too, because he did get banged up a little bit with that calf injury, which hopefully didn't play out all that differently here for the rest of the way from an Eagle fan perspective. But shout out Saquon Barkley. This is the best running back season in the history of the NFL.
We'll talk more about the Eagles and the outlook for the Super Bowl next.